This interview highlight package is brought to you by Sowetan Live.
Broadcasting Complaints Commission. Their ambit or scope of jurisdiction relates to what in law is defined as broadcasting services. Those are defined in an act. I think it's the Broadcasting Act. So it's your community, your commercial, your public broadcasters. So e-podcasts, because that act was old, they don't fall within the ambit of it. There's also the Film and Publication Board. Kumbula Film Publication was that old censorship thing, you know. Now the Film and Publication Board regulates online content, but not necessarily the broadcasters, and their scope is limited in the sense that it identifies harms, you know, things like incitement to war, you know. So it would not necessarily look at the content of podcasters. So there's a regulatory gray area there. And there has been discussions that the department is supposed to fast track the audio and the audiovisual services policy. Now, while it doesn't necessarily, I don't know, because we haven't seen the draft, but it does speak to the regulation of other over-the-top services. It tries to create policy in terms of how we relate to, you know, the likes of Netflix's, the Googles, but even platforms such as Twitter from a regulatory perspective. So Transity, they are in a regulatory gray area. It literally means that there is no act, policy, or anything that currently covers podcasting, which is worrying because when you look at the numbers, these podcasters are the podcasts are growing at an exponential rate. I mean, I had seen some research that says it's about 26% of people who are now even relying on them as news sources. Now, when you have a situation like that, such reach, and in the case of this one podcast, although I don't want to focus on him, he's also been taken and been put on broadcasting platforms, which then ensure that his reach is wider than just, you know, your social media online type of platforms of that nature. So I think I mean, this is not the first instance where, you know, there has been, social consternation on the things that happen on podcasts.
So now my question stands in regards to, obviously, now we don't have a regulatory stand who can come in to kind of advocate for the people and say that this is not allowed. What then, is there no limit to exactly what podcasters can and cannot do?
You see, I suppose that they're limited like everybody else, but by the laws of our country. The point is made that we have defamation laws, we have hate speech laws. So it's not that they have free rein and absolute freedom to do anything and everything that they want. But for us, the problem becomes the accessibility of the justice system. Because you need to have really deep pockets to be able to take on somebody, take them to court. And most South Africans don't have access to that, you know. So when these discussions were held, for example, with your, I'll call them the legacy or traditional media, I'll call them traditional media, there was a discussion of what type of regulation. So should you have self-regulation? Should you have a co-regulation where, for example, things like the Press Council and the BBSA become a bit of both? So when we're saying regulation, we're not necessarily talking about the government and being in any state, you know. But we have to say that there has to be particular codes that people operate in, and where somebody is feeling hard done by whatever happens on those platforms, they can then seek recourse from those type of bodies.
But there have been instances in regards to podcasts that have been put on broadcasting platforms, like your big ones, especially in this case, like your multi-choice. Does this not give leeway to your, I think the Complaints Commission to then say, hold the broadcaster then liable for what they are producing on the show? Or is that still a different type of conversation?
I don't think it's been tested yet, because somebody can argue. So MultiChoice, for example, has a particular license, and that license then enjoins them to a certain type of regulation, which means that they should carry at least some responsibility for the content that they put on their platforms. I don't know what that relationship, commercial or otherwise, is, but because it hasn't been tested, I'm hesitant to make an opinion, but I do think that MultiChoice does have a responsibility because they are a license holder. So you can't just take, you know, any and every content, put it on the platform, and then argue that it's a podcast and not regulated. The licensee is regulated.
What are some of the mechanisms that can be put in place, or that can kind of cover what the missing gap here?
On the podcast, it's difficult, but as much as I'm saying it's difficult, it's only because I think government has been lethargic and they're literally just dragging their feet in terms of updating legislation. I mean, podcasts in this country, if I'm not mistaken, I have been there at least since 2015 or so, you know. So I'm hoping that the first thing that's going to happen is an acceleration of pace in terms of updating legislation to cover these areas. Then secondly, I think it was last year where the FPB Act was amended, and the intention there was to really try and fight and mitigate against these online harms, we call them, right? So there you had issues of your child abuse, child sexual abuse material, what they used to call child pornography, this hate speech, the incitement to violence and things like that. It did not go far enough, you know, to cover this content. But I suppose it's a law like any other, so it can be tested, because the FPB also expects members of the public to be able to report things to it, you know. If they feel that their scope is not wide enough, or their jurisdiction doesn't cover the issue, then that's something that could be looked at. But the problems are many. I mean, you just need to go on any platform, and the amount of abuse and bullying and things that happen there. And in reality, this is not just a South African conversation. I mean, you look across the world where people are mulling how to either regulate the platform or to regulate the podcast and what needs to be done. So I think we're going to develop our jurisprudence around how this matter is handled. And in the meantime, unfortunately, you know, people who then do encounter such abuse, they can approach the courts, which in my opinion is not the most accessible or fair way for people to deal with abuse hurled at them, you know?
Yeah. I think my final question would be, obviously some would argue in certain situations like this that it would be sort of like a threatening freedom of speech in a way. So my question now comes at, how do we now like kind of balance the freedom of expression while also regulating, at the end of the day, bullying? It is cyberbullying at the end of the day. So how do we kind of regulate the two things without obviously people calling us hypocrites for kind of, you know, limiting what they can and cannot do on their own shows?
People are very quick to use the right to freedom of speech as if it is an unlimited right. All of the rights, especially those that are contained in our Bill of Rights, they are subject to a general limitation clause. And part of what that limitation clause speaks to the fact that, you know, the rights need to be weighed against each other, and your right, for example, to freedom of speech does not supersede my right to dignity. And there's been a number of instances where such things have been tested. You know, people will claim that they have a right to say this, and somebody argues, you know, right to dignity. They will argue public interest. So it's an ongoing debate, but the rights are not limited. Neither is freedom of speech. Now, I think that if we were to go the regulation route, being obviously cognizant and appreciative of the different rights that exist, you may want to look at certain things, right, where you may say, at least the commentary must be fair, right? Or the commentary must not cause harm. It must not be misinformation. It must not be unverified claims. I've seen in other jurisdictions across the world, they also put a threshold. Say, for example, some of these podcasts now are huge money-making machines.
Yeah.
So they you can look at issues of reach of the podcast in terms of the numbers. You can look at issues of revenue to understand the strength that this this organization has, if I can call it that. And then you say, when you reach a particular threshold, your responsibilities is obviously higher than me sitting at home doing a podcast on, you know, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So while in our country it's uncharted waters, there are obviously lessons to be learned from other places in the world. And I think we can do that in a way that ensures that they're able to continue what they do. I mean, some podcasts are really great, you know, for cultural expression, for niche subjects that other people don't find an interest in. They're great for people who are so-called cancelled and they don't have platforms. They can go there and, you know, it gives a voice to people who are sometimes voiceless. But like anything else, we need to balance it with the harms that it does to others.
For more, head on over to iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also follow us on all our social media platforms at Sowetan Live.